It's widely accepted that COVID-19 poses a greater threat to South African healthcare workers than any other infectious agent to date. Those frontline workers are a precious but limited resource who go into the eye of the storm every day to battle against this deadly virus. Figures show that by mid-July, healthcare workers admitted to hospital accounted for 3% of total COVID-19 admissions in South Africa. But according to a recent article in The Conversation, there's no coherent welfare strategy for healthcare workers. Now, the article outlines 10 ways that South Africa can step up care for its healthcare workers based on research and emergent practices in the field. I'm delighted that one of the authors of that piece is Professor Kemalin Govender, who's Research Director at the Health Economics and HIV and AIDS Research Division. And he joins us this morning, at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. He joins us on the line this morning. Prof, welcome and thanks so much for your time.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, thanks. It's right to say, isn't it, that South Africa was already under strain before COVID came along. I mean, 0.9 medical doctors for every 1,000 people compared with a global average of 1.6.
Absolutely. I mean, South Africa has a historical shortage of healthcare workers. And to put this in context, we've had a historically undervalued sector, a sector which was culturally regarded as feminine, underrecognized, underpaid, invisible, and a tendency towards being undervalued. So we went in with these kind of historical weaknesses into the system, and there we are with the added problem of COVID-19.
Tell me something. Why is a specific welfare strategy like the one that's outlined in the article needed in addition to the medical protocols in place to reduce hospital and clinic staff's risk of infection at work?
That's a good question. In the welfare strategy which we put together, we indicate that one needs to look at risk mitigation issues at a hospital level or a clinic level, and one also needs to look at psychosocial support for healthcare workers. So it's beyond risk mitigation for contracting the coronavirus, but we're also looking at the psychosocial and other aspects of welfare support for healthcare workers, and these include providing counseling services, looking at alternative family support, dealing with issues of stigma, etc.
What informed this 10-point strategy? Were you looking at what other countries have done?
Yes. So when colleagues put this together, we had a look at emergent practices in the field and international research and some of the conversations and dialogues going on in the public space, and we thought, well, we see a number of touch point issues with healthcare workers and at different points over the period that we've been dealing with COVID-19, that different issues come up, and we thought to ourselves, well, we need some kind of coherent strategy that addresses all the issues related to healthcare workers. And it's important because you can't emphasize one element. What's important is that the welfare strategy in its multiple forms or multiple elements needs to be addressed for us to see improvement in the welfare of healthcare workers.
Prof, some of the points in the strategy seem elementary, prioritising healthcare workers for testing, adequate PPE, increasing disinfection procedures. Should we draw from that then that this isn't already standard practice?
No, it isn't. We know this at a conceptual level. You know, we are familiar with the points in the strategy. The trouble is with implementation. And if you take one issue, for example, like PPEs, we've seen recently that healthcare workers don't have enough PPEs. There's inadequate or inequitable distribution of PPE equipment. There's a lack of regular training. And these issues are important, the attention to the detail in implementation, and it's impacting on risk mitigation strategies. There are other issues as well. I mean, more recently, we've seen the notion of aerosol transmission in terms of the virus. So we need to look, and as we learn about COVID-19, we need to keep up to pace in terms of the implementation.
Sure. We're joined on the line this morning by Professor K. Marlon Govender, who's one of the authors of an article in The Conversation looking at 10 ways to improve how we treat our healthcare workers in South Africa during this current pandemic, and stepping up care for healthcare workers. Prof, you highlight the need to step up mental health and support services. Is this an area that's often overlooked, that the mental and psychological well-being of healthcare workers?
Yes, absolutely, and it's in line with my my opening comments about the undervalued nature of healthcare workers in the sector. And we know healthcare workers deal with considerable mental stress and anxiety, and this impacts on decision making in hospitals and clinics. And with COVID-19, we've seen high levels of mental exhaustion, anxiety, stress, even post-traumatic stress disorders, well, possibly post-traumatic or continuing traumatic stress disorders. And the additional issues is related to stigma in the face of healthcare workers being perceived as a risk for COVID-19 transmission. So there's stigma at a level of self-stigma, and stigma that's at a community level. And we need to look at psychosocial interventions for healthcare workers, on-site interventions, remote interventions. Importantly, it has to be accessible for healthcare workers to be able to contact professionals and have the sort of support. There are important initiatives that are currently going on. For instance, the Healthcare Worker Network initiative, which provides these sorts of services.
Looking again at numbers, we've mentioned the ratio of doctors to patients in South Africa. Number five on this list is a recruitment drive. We have a dearth of 12,000 healthcare workers in the country. 12,000.
Yes, and that probably is an underestimate. If you look at the healthcare workers that we need to recruit for quarantine sites, for hospital facilities, clinic facilities, we have a historical shortage of healthcare workers. And again, it's related to healthcare workers before COVID-19 moving away from the country, moving to better paid jobs internationally. Undervalued nature of the sector, so it is an issue, and we need to recruit healthcare workers in a rapid way, because COVID-19 is going to be with us for a while. But we also need to be careful about how we recruit healthcare workers. We need to recruit workers that we can train quite rapidly in COVID-19 skills to be able to deploy at various clinics and hospitals.
Do we have the resources to be able to do that?
That's an interesting question in terms of recruitment resources. And I think that's where the challenges in terms of how we can scale up healthcare workers in hospitals. And there are ways of thinking through this in terms of volunteers, of interns in faculties at universities, etc. But we need a detailed plan on how we recruit healthcare workers.
Another point on your list is one that was raised, in fact, by one of our listeners last week, and that was transport of workers. You think that government must provide financial motivation, which is one part of the thing, and then dedicated transport.
Yes, and this is an interesting issue. And, you know, healthcare workers, a majority of them use public transport. And now we've seen with the 100% capacity loading of taxis, and this could be a high transmission point, the healthcare workers are vulnerable. At least it adds to the stress of healthcare workers coming to work, because they perceive this to be a point of vulnerability for contracting the coronavirus. So there has to be ways that we can limit transmission mechanisms for healthcare workers, and it should be an important consideration that's put on the table.
Mm. You say that the health ministry needs to be transparent in supporting healthcare workers. What's the word on the ground? Is that happening?
It's an area of uncertainty, I would guess. And what we think is important is that, firstly, to implement the issues outlined in the strategy, we think it's important at a kind of a localized level for hospital committees and even at the district level healthcare system to look at these issues and implement. It's really important that as we get into the advanced phases of this pandemic, is that we have more agency and ownership at the ground level, which means then there has to be a line of communication between implementers of policies or at a localized level and ministry. And that's important to have that dialogue in terms of where the challenges are. I think some of it is going on, but I think there could be more progress in this area.
Yeah, indeed. It's a fascinating article. I'd encourage you to read it. It's in the conversation. It's called 10 Ways South Africa Can Step Up Care for Its Healthcare Workers. One of the authors of that article is Professor Kemal Ngavada, who has joined us this morning. We thank you ever so much for your time, Prof.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a nice day.